Hey everybody, it's good to see you all again. This segment is just to kind of let you guys know what is going on in this episode. So, in this episode, there is a situation towards the end, or anywhere in this episode, there is a blank. That means there's no sound coming in the episode, and you might think that is your fault. That is my fault. You can blame me, say it was my fault, because that is editing problem, and that's because of recording and the recording platform that I use. If that happens to be in the episode, if that's in it, what you need to do is to just disregard it. Don't worry about it. Consider it like an ad break. Consider it like a break. Consider it like we're taking a 5 minute break. Consider it like that. So no freaking out. No need to worry. Make sure you guys enjoy the episode. Enjoy what's in it. And y'all have a good one and enjoy this one. Really enjoy it and have fun. And please disregard the blanks in there, consider them breaks. Hope you guys enjoy this episode and thank you guys for understanding and for your cooperation. It is right now. We are live on Thursday evening, 6 p.m. Central, 7 East. Anyway, I'm not Google, so I'm not gonna get all into that. By the way, I went to Big Rivers. If you guys are in Texas, I actually went there today and it was so nice. So y'all should definitely, if you're in Texas, check it. Check out the water park. It's so fun. Anyway, I have a long overdue interview here at Stripes. I am very excited. He actually came. He's another artist that came from Shroom T's review show, which is blowing up. So props on it. And I'm super excited to, be meeting somebody as intelligent and talented as Stripes. So I'm really excited to jump into this. So welcome to Rap It Out, finally.
Thank you so much for having me.
Definitely, and I can't, and I'm so excited for our conversation. So let's jump right into it. So I know that your first hat that you always wear is a mix engineer. So I definitely want to know what life is like to be a mix engineer. What are the challenges and some of the best moments of being, one? And what advice would you give to other mix engineers, upcoming or, similar to you?
I'll go through that in order. I would say day in the life is pretty fun and exciting. One of the things that I like most about mix engineering is that it allows me to jump into other genres and see what other people are doing. As an artist, you never want to spread too far or you alienate your listeners. But as a mix engineer, I can work with as many people as I want to or need to grab different sounds or ideas. And you'd be surprised what genres cross over and have similarities. And you kind of pull that knowledge and keep it in the back of your head when you're writing too. So it's very advantageous both to do and to learn from.
Definitely, definitely, for sure. I couldn't say it better myself. You hit the nail with that one. And oh, sorry.
No, go ahead. As far as where to start, if you're looking to get into mixing and engineering, there are a lot of communities. I would say just jump into Reddit. People are always looking to get stuff mixed. If you don't know, there's a lot of YouTube tutorials. I actually learned from Sadowick Productions. That was how I got into Ableton years and years and years ago, because tutorials was like how I learned everything at the time. But if you're looking to jump into it, Sedgwick is a fabulous teacher. Seamless R is really, really good. Virtual Riot's got some stuff. If you just study people as they're crafting, you'll pick up that knowledge and you'll learn a lot of the lingo, which I think is the first barrier when you're looking at engineering. You don't know the verbiage, so you don't know what to ask, what to look for. So watch live streamers, watch people that are doing it, and you'll learn by watching.
Very nice, very nice. And yeah, I felt that advice. I definitely felt it. It definitely hit hard for me. But yeah, thanks for sharing that. And the reason why is, it's important to get a first-hand point of view about being a mix engineer. And because the other segue that I wanted to talk about, and this is a huge thing that I wanted to know you have one, and it's very professional. It's extremely professional. You even have a website for it. So
I want to know everything there is about Tiger Blood. I mean, you guys have your own social media page. You guys have this... Guys, it's a really fancy website. It's for real fancy. I'm jealous of your designer, honestly. So I definitely want to get into, you know, the studio. So I want to, again, know exactly everything, you know, the origin story of the studio, what your mission, what you guys do, what services do you provide, and, you know, all sorts like that.
Oh, for sure. It actually started, I would say, probably 2012, 2013, and it started as St. Lucifer Studio. I was really into slam poetry and spoken word. I was going to one of the local open mics like every week. I was very, very active in the evangelical church, and I thought the contradiction was really funny because it usually ruffled feathers, and like it challenges the don't judge a book by its cover sort of thing. Because you say it and people get upset, but if they know you and they know your character, that name won't bother them. It won't be a ruffle in the feathers. So I like that, and I went under that alias for quite a few years. But I really just wanted to make music in the community. I started on FL Studio right out of high school, and I wanted to make dubstep. I remember Skrillex came out in 2012, or like dubstep was happening because of Skrillex's push, and I had never heard anything like it. And so I got FL, I got Native Instruments Massive, and I just dived into sound design as far as I could. And it never really picked up, but there were a couple local rappers that needed a place to record. And I had graduated, I had worked a year, I got the biggest tax return I had ever had. I hadn't had one before, I was like a kid, I was just 18. So I spent that on equipment, and then I started having local rappers over to rap on some stuff. I knew two duos. Unfortunately, I don't know why this happens, but it does seem to be a pattern. Eventually it comes to an infighting and people split, and usually one of them gives up rapping and one of them doesn't. It sucks. But both pairs ended up moving out of town. I lost connections there. And then I was introduced to an artist named RJ Lehner. She was just graduating. She was, I think, a year under me. And she was in my sister's grade. So no, 2 years under me, sorry. And she would come over every week, and we worked on her album, Don't Fall In. And we worked on that album for about a year. And that was like my grinding stone to become a mix engineer. Because working with Rachel in a live setting presented new and exciting problems for me to solve every week. And I don't mean that on a diss on Rachel, because she's a phenomenal guitarist and a wonderful vocalist. But there were new challenges that I had not run into, because we were always doing new stuff. We wanted to create a variance of genre across that album. I wanted to show off her skills as a singer-songwriter. I didn't want to stray too far from acoustic, but I wanted to give her some pop. So working on that project, I think, really honed me as an engineer. And then once that was done, she moved to Minnesota to go to school to be a luthier, like an instrument repairist. And so without her, I reached out to the local community. I didn't find a lot of people that stuck, so I started developing my own stuff. And then more recently, that was how Stripes developed. Without anyone in the local area that was really eager to work with me, I just started doing my own things. And now I'm here.
Wow. That's crazy that you had to start, you know, from base one because of many challenges.
Yeah, but I think it really grew me, and it made me flexible. I've learned so much about the process through this, and there hasn't been a lot of pressure to learn quickly. So I've really taken my time and honed my skills on it.
Well, I'm really glad that you took in a more positive, way. That's what I really love. You know, that's one of my favorite parts about when people have a shift and it affects them. I love when they take a positive outlook on it and it makes them successful. Like, I definitely am intrigued and very. I was very into whenever you were talking about just. You know, the shift and the difference, and that you were able to overcome it and have a successful studio. So that's really impressive. That's really, really impressive.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
As far as services offered, the studio isn't in-home, so we're a little bit closed off. I have to have a vetting process just to keep my family and my loved ones safe, because I do live with them. But mixing, mastering, and Ableton coaching, I can do any of those online. So if anyone needs me for that, just reach out on Instagram. I'm pretty easy to get a hold of and work with.
Awesome. So, well, I'm glad y'all heard that, because y'all heard that, right? You know, so y'all, so upcoming producers, I mean, y'all should check them out, definitely. I mean, if I was a producer, I would.
Thanks.
Absolutely. And who designed your website? I need to, you know, I definitely need to know who on earth designed your website.
So I actually did that in the Wix editor, and I revise it every few months as need be. I did hire a web team to develop the back end last year. That was PIMMUSA. It was a little bit difficult to network communications with them. I didn't get everything I needed done, so I let them go, but I would say that a good majority of it is my work.
Nice. Not having me to go on Wix. Everybody has always told me to go on there and make a website. Apparently, I should have listened, because the website looks fire. It's so awesome. I'm so. I shouldn't be jealous, but it's really nice.
I really like it, and low key, it reminds me of like OG Facebook, or not Facebook, MySpace. Like back when you could design your own web page on your MySpace, which I spent way too many hours doing as a youth. But it's the same vibe. The editor is really, really nice.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking at it now. Now I see the MySpace vibes. I do remember that. Aw. Sometimes I miss.
Yeah, so it's like a trip down nostalgia lane, just like building it.
Definitely a valid point. Definitely. Oh, I feel a lot of nostalgia already. Definitely a lot of nostalgic vibes. But, anyway, so I did want to also shout you out just a bit, because, firstly, I want to talk about the EP that, you know, you had to cut down on to reach a deadline, so I definitely want to kind of get into EP, if you're okay with talking about it, because I know that must have been hard to cut down on the EP to meet the deadline, you know. How did you feel when you made that decision, and did it affect the sound of the EP at all, you know, and, you know, how do you feel after you did it?
So, the EP is such a strange thing for me. If we can back up just a little bit in my timeline. I started doing shows July of last year, and I was developing an album called Digital Wizardry. The concept behind that was that I feel like there's this threshold of skill you have to learn in any digital skill, be it artwork, audio, video editing, any of those things. You get so deep in that knowledge base that other people around you don't know the same things that you know. So it's hard to network with like minds in your skill set, at least in a small community like mine. And so I've started calling people with really good digital skill sets digital wizards. So I would consider myself one. I've got a friend who went to college for game development, and he knows so much about computers and technology. So I've called him one. I've got a friend that was an animator. And while I was working on that, a lot of my personal shortcomings and I guess other things in my past that I was upset about started coming out in my writing. And it fit really well because it talked about my path, but it was making me really, really depressed to work on it. So December of last year, I said, I need to table this project. I can't work on it anymore. It's really affecting me emotionally in my daily life. And then I said, I can't do nothing because that makes me depressed. I've got to work on something else. And one of the artists that I've been working with locally has been trying to get me into 100 Gex and Cemetery. I think those fall out of the hyperpop genre, and hyperpop hits me with the same appeal that dubstep did, where they're both very quick and they change quickly. It's like every half measure, there's a different idea coming at you. But I had a lot of trouble getting into hyperpop. It's a lot of neat ideas, but something about it just grates me. And so I jokingly, one of the projects I was working on, I produced it in a way that was hyperpop, and I put that in quotes. And it gets progressively more obnoxious as time goes on. And I sent it to them, and I think I called it 100 Keks, which is, it's actually on the Fool's Journey EP when you look. It's now 10,000 Keks, I believe. K-E-K-S, as in like lol or laughter. And the EP was born from that, because I had a lot of fun with the project. And then Gray Hood, one of my digital wizard friends, he's really into Vaporwave, and I've done some stuff for his video games that were Vaporwave. So a single I was working on, I slowed down, I made it Vaporwave, air quotes, and sent that his way as a prank. But as I was like having fun with it, I started to fall in love with music again, and I was like, this is what I want to do. So it was supposed to be like just a quick, funny, haha, April 1st joke became this big project that I really fell in love with. And then as April 1st approached, even though I had a bunch of instrumentals built and all these drafts, nothing was really finished. So I looked at it and I said, what is close to done and what can I finish in the next 4 days? Because that was when I started to realize this just wasn't going to happen. So I took the tracks that were closest to finished, I polished them up as tightly as I could, and I released on April 1st. And that was how we got to there.
Oh. Wow. I mean, you must be a really strong person to let some of those songs go, but, I mean, I guess it worked out for the best, though. I mean, I definitely love the name Low Pressure, and I definitely loved the whole concept of it. And, you know, I think that worked out for the best, honestly. The EP still is a very strong EP, so to be honest, I was also surprised by how many songs is on it. Like, I see it's 15, I think, that's on it. Which I thought it was an album, because I didn't think an EP could have that many songs.
Like I said, it was a single that got bigger and bigger. And now I'm like, okay, we got to wrap this up. I know that we're on a podcast and it's a audio medium, but may I share my screen with you?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, can you see that?
I can't see anything. Oh, wait. Never mind, I can't. I just didn't click on it. But I can see you.
Okay. So this is Notion. This is how I keep track of what I'm working on. So you can see the full track list here. It is now at 19 because I added a skit as well as a song that I wasn't sure if it was going to make it or not, but it's almost done as of today. But I don't know. I never felt uncomfortable at any point because with this guide, I knew what my workload was. So like if we go to Professional Mumble Rappers, I can look through my work log and see the days that I worked on it and the tasks I needed to completion. So at any point, even if I'm not at my workstation, if I'm out and about shopping, eating, whatever, I can glance at my notes and say, this is my workload, this is what I have to do. So it wasn't really hard to choose what to cut. I mean, I was sad to cut it because it wasn't done, but I was also like, these aren't feasibly going to get done in 4 days.
Right, definitely, yeah.
If there's any project you want to know more about, I can dig into the notes as well. That's why I wanted to share this with you.
Well, it's totally up to you. This is your episode, so I definitely want you to open as much as possible. I mean, everybody is watching, so I definitely, you know, want you to say whatever you feel comfortable with.
No, that's fair. I want you to lead. You are the host. I'm just offering. This is actually my first interview, so I'm not super accustomed to it.
Well, I don't know. There's 19 songs. I don't know. I don't have to pick favorites. That's not fair. I can't pick favorites. If I was going to be fair, I would have asked you to explain all 19 of them.
Fair enough. Well, we'll go with Departure. You said that one was your favorite.
Oh yeah, that one was nice.
Okay, so the concept behind the EP was feeling stagnant, leaving home, finding your craft, which is what I did through making this, and finding your way back home through being comfortable. So the first three songs, Professional Mumble Rappers, Stay in Drugs at Your School, and Don't Do Vegetables, and Tisms to Me, are all like at-home songs. Departure is where we actually hit the road and start to see progression and journey throughout the EP. So for the concept, I wrote, what do you need to depart? Where are we going and why? Talk about home growing stagnant and the need to venture out to find yourself before returning, as well as your favorite clothes, which leads into Tisms to Me above it. I broke up my lyrics this way. Lyrically, the content of the song is about wandering and not really knowing where you're going, but hoping that you'll find direction through wandering.
Oh, yeah, that's nice. And wandering and departure, I mean, that's definitely between the lines, yeah.
Sure, for sure.
That's nice. But I still feel dirty. You know what? Why don't you explain all the rest of the 18 songs, my treat. Just feel crazy. Now I feel unfair to all of the other 18.
Okay, yeah. Professional Mumble Rappers was a beat that I wrote in a day and a half. I really, really liked it. And I think it was inspired by Pressure by Grimgran. And I couldn't understand what the rapper on that track was saying. And it kind of tickled my funny bone. And I was like, I bet I could do that. So I ventured out. I made the beat. I wrote some nonsense. I kind of mumbled it. I showed it to a friend. They liked it. They jumped on. I shared it with the Enigmatic Discord server, so I have a couple more submissions. I think it's now close to 3 minutes with everybody's verses on it. But the joke is, it's all about vibe. Like, it's not necessarily what is being said or who's making punchlines. It's just fun and exciting, and it's big and loud.
Oh, wow.
Stay in drugs, eat your school, and don't do vegetables. There was a song called Daily I was working on. That's at the end of the EP. I vape record that, and I like the style, but there wasn't really anything. Like, I didn't want to re-release the same song. But I found if I put new drums over it and distorted the original beat so much you couldn't make anything out, it created a nice backdrop. And then I rapped over that. And the vaporwave show is, like, there. The slowing and speeding of the tempo, I should say, is there to represent, like, being out of focus and being out of tune with yourself and your environment. We move on from there to Tisms to Me. I'm talking about like stimulus. Me and my partner, we both really like fuzzy clothing. It's just part of our stimmy. We like to touch the physical clothing that we're wearing. And so the words Tisms to Me didn't feel real to me. They kind of linked up with mumble rappers in that way. And I was like, how many punchlines of words that don't sound real but mean something can I put together? And it kind of grew and blossomed from that. Departure, we talked about leaving. A goblin encounter is me running into two of the funniest people I know in my own life. They don't necessarily do a lot of music, but they're people that I hang out with often because they raise my spirits and I enjoy having them. One of them I've known since my freshman year of high school. We go way, way back. We used to write comic books and pass them out, like just goofy stuff. So I invited them into the studio and they helped me. They co-wrote that skit with me and we had a good laugh. It was just a good time. Want for Less serves as kind of a transitional period. As far as the concept goes, it says the ego demands status and physical wealth. The soul craves sovereignty and experience. Starve the ego, feed the soul. My inspiration behind it was Strong as an Oak by Watsky. The general consensus there is that you don't necessarily need money to live well. You just need to be aware of who's around you, what's around you, and where you want to be going. The pressure is kind of an experimental beat built from patches I was putting together in Contact, like Native Instruments Contact. There's an alarm sounding thing, which is a continuous feedback loop through a gate, and it sounds like an alarm. I spent some time at a job that was very demanding of me. It was very difficult. This was before I was engineering full-time. And I found that the pressure kind of molded me and helped me become stronger, but it was also very stressful. And if you didn't find the right places and time to rest, you could be worse off for it. So the pressure kind of talks about how to delve into difficult scenarios and situations and push through them and be stronger without over-pushing and hurting yourself. This next one's a banger, is an instrumental intermission. When I wrote it originally, I wanted to do everything a cappella, but I'm just not that talented. So it was built from some other loops with friends. The next one is apt to be renamed. It is a drill track against someone who did me dirty. I'm not going to say any more on that. You'll have to hear that for yourself. A Ghost at the Crossroads is a skit delving into what happens when we let anger consume us, because there was about a 2-year period of my life where being wrong was very, very hard for me to overcome. I just spent too much time being mad about it, and it wasn't serving me. That leads us into the last half of the album, which is a little bit heavier and darker. It starts kind of joyful and gets just a little bit heavier as you go. Snakes is about redirecting your own energy and focus to the things that serve you, rather than being consumed by the things that are just taking your time and attention away from what matters. 1000 Kex was, like I said, a fun prank. It was a piece I was working on, but I worked it in a way that I normally wouldn't have, and it was kind of fun. Daily, featuring Dillman and I'm the Crazy 123, is a local metal artist, as well as someone from the UK that I met through SoundCloud. I just like featuring people. Like, I like to work with as many people as I can. So I pulled them together for that project. We had a lot of fun. That was actually, I think, I was working on that before this EP started, and it fit really nicely. Your Back is a skit featuring my two favorite goblin friends once again. It kind of brings you full circle to coming back home. You left, you ran into them, you went on a journey, now you're back home. Go Stupid is just a dumb party rave track. I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just meant to be like fun and uplifting. It's a good way to close off the album on a good note. This last one I'm going to skip over, and I think that's it. There are two additions that don't have notes yet, which are @_@. That was actually a track from Digital Wizardry that I changed and made Nightcore and put on this one. I just sped it up and added new drums. And then the other one is the Discord Tree, which is a skit. I'm kind of talking about the enigmatic Discord server and Discord servers in general because of the way that they've interacted in my life. Not having enough local people to work with regularly, it means I have to work online, and Discord's made that really, really possible for me. But there are also just some funny interactions you have on there, so I just wanted to touch on that. And then the track after that is a big enigmatic feature. Like, I'm just putting as many people from the server on there as I can, just to be fun.
Nice.
And I think that's it. I think that's the whole EP.
Wow. Yep, I made the best decision. Yep, and So the original name was called Fool's Journey, and then you rechanged it to Low Pressure, or was Low Pressure the original and you changed it to Fool's Journey?
No, Fool's Journey was the original idea. It stemmed from 10,000 Kex, grew to Stay in Drugs, Eat Your School, Don't Do Vegetables. And then the rest of it kind of exploded after that, so it was just supposed to be one single, and I was like, oh my gosh. What I'm looking to do on the 20th is release the Fool's Journey Deluxe Edition, which will have all of the tracks on it, the ones that got cut.
Awesome! I'm so excited for the Deluxe Edition. I can't wait. Cool! Well, that's for Fool's Journey.
Thank you. It's kind of an extension of the prank.
Wow. I've never heard of them in my entire life. I've never heard music being made from a prank. I've never heard that before in my whole entire life.
Well, yeah, it's April Fool's. It's a holiday I didn't participate as much in as I wanted to, and I thought it was fun. Like, the whole thing was just meant to be low pressure and goofy. And I got that out of it, so I was happy.
Nice. Well, low pressure, I'm hoping it'll be, like, a name to, like, your debut album or something. Like, low pressure sounds like a really nice title name for something.
I would feel like I would be ripping off, though, because Logic had Under Pressure, which is also
Yeah, you're right. Oh, yeah, I did not think of that. Well, maybe that could be a name for a product or something, or some other thing you do in the future that you need a name for.
True. Very true.
I mean, I love the name. If I had the name, I would use it in a rock band or something.
That would be good too, for sure, for sure.
Definitely. Sorry. I had to fix. Okay. Anyway, thank you so much for that extensive analysis on the songs. I feel like that really helped me a lot. Now I have to go listen to the entire EP now, because now I gotta pick new favorites. Look what you've done.
Yeah.
Now I gotta pick new favorites now.
Yeah. It won't be out until April 20th, but as soon as it's there, I'll send you a link. It'll be
all revamping. I have to listen to the entire EP on the 20th, because now I gotta pick new favorites on the 20th. That's even worse. I have to wait, and then
Correct.
I have to pick new favorites from there. Oh my god.
Sorry to keep you waiting.
That's only a week from now, so it's not a long wait. But seriously, though, that this actually was really nice to actually hear about those tracks, and it's really majorly impressive that you have notes and that you use Notion. Do you realize the last time that I heard Notion being used wasn't even on the podcast? It was a YouTube channel I used to watch. I remember the person's name, actually, because they use Notion for something. I remember their channel because I subscribed to it. That was the last time that I even, like, heard of Notion. It was this guy that I started listening to. I'm gonna see if I have Thomas Frank. I used to listen to Thomas Frank a lot when I was, because I did like a computer class, and I used to listen to him a lot. That was the last time that I even remotely heard of Notion. So it's amazing that you actually use it. I mean, how does it help, you know? Sorry about that, but how does Notion help, though?
It's like my second brain. I started using it about, right before the pandemic, so almost 4 years ago now. And having everything in there has made it so quick access. The thing that was hard to get used to was the capture habit. You have to, when you think of things, put them in there right away. So I've got a quick notes tab and a misc lyrics tab, and those are probably the two things I use the most. My quick notes, I try to pare through at the end of the night before I go to bed. It's just anything important that I will need to remember later, and it can be sorted to another space. The other one being misc lyrics. I would say the best and most clever lyrics I think of are the ones that have the best punchlines always come to me in the shower. I don't know why. It's fresh in the morning. I have hot water, and my brain just works better in that period. So I try to memorize what I can in there. As soon as I get out, I type them out. Or sometimes you'll hear something funny in conversation, too. Like, you just have to get in the habit of grabbing your phone, putting it in there, and then knowing that you've got it, and it's there for later, and you don't have to think about it again. I also keep a journal in there, as well as engineering notes. Like, if I find tricks that I want to try or ideas, I'll put them in there. It's just like a giant storage bank for ideas, essentially.
Definitely, 100%. I mean, I wish that I've known all that about how to use Notion. I mean, I had no idea that it had universal use. I mean, when I saw Notion being used, it was more of used for like YouTube tutorials, it was used for business ventures, it was used to organize information. But it's insane how technology has evolved, even the use of it in a music sense. I mean, that's even, you know, a lot to wrap my head around. So thank you for bringing that to light, actually. It's really nice that, you know, the website has a lot of different uses.
Oh yeah, it's also an app on the phone as well as on the desktop, so I can work from either surface.
That's even more amazing. Awesome. I gotta start using it. That's on my to-do list too, to check out Notion. So thanks for adding another object on my, another thing to put on my to-do list.
I like to keep everyone else as busy as I am.
Ha, you're really funny. Keep.
I try.
That's fair though, that's totally fair. And speaking about keeping busy, you had a song you put out last year, which I did want to talk about because it is your only song that you have right now on Spotify, which I'm also going to ask about too. But I definitely want to do ask about Ambition, the song that you put. Now, I know that you are not regularly a rapper, so I'm not going to get too much into it, but I did want to know, where did the song, you know, come from, you know, the whole origin when it came to the song, the whole creative process whenever it came to the song, and what are your plans with the Spotify? Are you releasing more music like that in the future, or, you know, so.
Yeah. I released Ambition right before my first show ever. I had a colleague that had offered me a spot on a show. I had not done one, but I was really eager to try and perform. So I think I had about a month's notice. I pulled together some covers. I was told I could not do only covers. So I wrote Ambition, and I think I had one other one in the works. It would be What Is 10,000 Kex Now? I had been working on. So I had two originals. I covered... that was Palmer Squares. Hold on. It'll come back to me in just a second. Actually, I have the set list in Notion.
Oh.
It was. Yes. Speaking of keeping notes on everything. Grab that real quick. Paralyzed by Palmer Squares. Confetti by... didn't write down the artist. Double Clamp. Confetti by Double Clamp. Those two. And then Costanza's song.
Oh. No. Oh. Well, that's awesome that you got invited to do a show like that. I mean...
yes. Sorry, the last song was I Don't Mind. So I covered all of those. I didn't mean to go off track there. And I wrote Ambition for it because I really wanted that to be a new leg in my journey. I pulled inspiration from Do It Myself by Russ. My partner's a really big fan of Russ, so I listen to a lot of their music. And that was where that came in. The next EP was going to be Digital Wizardry. That will be what I am working on again as soon as A Fool's Journey Deluxe Edition is dropped. I'll be right back to Digital Wizardry to close that out. And then I'm not sure what I'm doing next. I think once that's done, I want to take a minute and work on some other people's stuff. Give everyone else a turn to get elevated, so I'm not purely focusing on me. But that's the release schedule as it's looking right now.
Wow. Major props on the release schedule and, you know, releasing Ambition. I mean, there's so much to love about it. But one of my favorite things about it is definitely the... cover art for it. That's another thing I wanted to ask. Who made the cover art? and I'm gonna faint if you say it's you. I'm gonna faint if you say it's you that made it.
I'm so sorry to disappoint. I did not. It is my good friend, Gray Hood, my fellow digital wizard. He was the one that went to school for game design. They did that for me.
Wow. That's really impressive. Well, whenever you get a chance to talk to them again, let them know that I really enjoy their art. You know, props to them. I definitely loved it.
Absolutely. And if you're looking for more things to put on your task list, if you go to their website, Moon New Studio, let me just verify that real quick. They've got tons of games up there. We participate in the Global Game Jam every year. So we're always making at least one game a year. Sometimes if there's more happening, we'll work on more than one release, but typically it's just one a year. Their website is moonmuse-studio.com. I can leave a link for you as well.
Wow, you are so nice.
There you go. But yeah, there's a whole great team over there. They're always working on games, graphic design, coding, all sorts of stuff.
That's awesome. Well, I'm gonna be busy tonight checking out all the links and resources. Probably getting on that. That's really cool,
sure,
though.
Sure.
Props to that, for sure. And it's a nice segue into performing, actually, because and I'm not stalking your Instagram. This is actually something I study Instagram, so I study posts that's been made like within, you know, days and weeks, and I study what it says, so I remember a lot. And I remembered that on the 26th, you actually performed, or it was something you posted of someone performing. I haven't seen your face before, so it's hard to really say. But I did see a little clip of someone or you performing. Just to clarify, is it someone or is it you performing?
It would be me. I do like to hide behind my AI art because I am shy, but every now and then you can see clips of me on Instagram, yes.
Well, that's awesome. Well, props to that. That's really amazing from the show. I mean, you even performed at a place called Rockstar Saloon. I mean, I love the name already. I now want to go there.
Yeah, if you're ever in Milwaukee, stop in, check it out.
Totally. And I didn't know 20 Minute Mission. I had no idea you knew them.
I actually played a show with them at that venue. They
no
were there
way,
that night.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy. It's so ironic because I asked them to come on here. Like, we've talked and I've asked them, like, it's so ironic. I literally was just messaging and emailing them, like, you know, days ago. Like, I'm literally doing it days ago.
Well, I can shoot them a message.
Like, we've talked about it. They said they would, like, set up a date and such. I think they did. Like, actually, you follow a lot of people that I've, like, talked to, actually. It's so ironic. It's a lot of irony, like, y'all, I'm not even kidding, like, he knows a lot of people that I've talked to, like, Lil Brian, I've talked to Lil Brian,
Oh, yeah, Lil Brian's been producing longer than I have, and I, in my own peer group, I don't see that very
definitely,
often.
Definitely, but I've heard that you've done it for a while, I know you've been doing it for a decade, so, you know, I mean, how did you survive a whole decade, and where did this energy come from to make beats and be a producer and to be in love with music and to be in the music industry? I'd like to elaborate on that.
I've run the studio as a side hustle for most of that decade. Most of the inspiration came from wanting to connect with other musicians and just continue learning, growing, and elevating each other. So like when I worked with Rachel, that was the biggest development period, I think, in my life. I learned so much so quickly. And I will admit, periods of that were frustrating, but having a friend who was just as devoted to learning and growing alongside me, and that was very encouraging, made it so much easier to delve into. I didn't really start doing this, I guess, at a profit until I would say about 2018. And then it was just last year that I started doing this full time.
Wow. That's crazy that, you know, it took so long to finally have a full time, but I'm glad, like, I'm actually for real glad, because I did see your song on the review show. That was the one priority beforehand of the interview, was to check out how they reviewed. Which, you know, how did you feel after they reviewed, like, how did you feel after, you know, they reviewed you on the show and it was your first experience, you know?
I really enjoyed it, and I keep coming back for more. It's a really cool place to meet other artists, producers, and sometimes engineers. But you get really good feedback, not just from the host, but the general chat as well. So if there's something that you missed or something that you maybe didn't hear, or if there's something that needs to be added, you get a different set of ears and ideas on it. It's always good to have feedback.
100%. I keep emphasizing that. I literally try to emphasize that for every artist to really take feedback seriously. So thank God that you actually take that seriously. You take it into a positive point of view, so thank God.
Well,
so yeah. Oh yeah, look at that. You also follow Matt Hat, right? And he was actually on here. I actually got him on here a couple weeks ago, I believe.
That's awesome. Yeah, we're actually working on a collaboration shortly.
No,
he's
way.
Going to be on the upcoming EP.
No. That's crazy.
Yes.
Let me check, because hold on. Let me just see how many people you talk to, and then I know. I'm trying to see where I know, because that's a lot of people already that I've talked to. But to be fair, I have talked to a lot of people. Let's see. Oh, Mercury Zero. I've talked to him before. We haven't, like, set up anything, but I've talked to him. I talked to Mercury Zero. Let me see. I think that's all that I've at least talked to. And, you know, and of course, Shroom T, because, you know, that's how I found you. That's really how I found you. But yeah, I mean, it's crazy how, you know, connections work out. I mean, it's insane.
For sure, for sure.
And I had no idea you even knew those people. I mean, they must have, like, a real close collaboration kind of deal, you know, whenever they bring people on the review show. I mean, every time somebody goes on there, you know, I reach out to them because, you know, I want to, you know, give you guys as much exposure. I mean, I'm shocked that this is your first interview, considering how much experience you have. I mean, that's great, but also it's a little disappointing to hear, because you deserve more exposure. I mean, can I just be honest, y'all? I'm just going to step out of the interview person of me, just honestly say that's unfair. That's unprecedented. Like, that's unfair. Like,
I appreciate your praise. I kind of like being in the back seat, though. I don't necessarily need all the clout. I just want to keep
still,
doing what I'm
like,
doing.
At least have, like, one or two, like, little small ones. I mean, not, like, a whole, like, magazine cover, but still, like, doing that. I mean, you have no idea when you said it's your first one, you've been doing it for a long time. It's like, oh, shoot. I cannot believe that this is happening. So, I just thought I should say that, because it really has blown my mind.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I've never really reached out or looked around. I just like
to
stay
busy.
A lot
of people, actually, to be honest with you, they don't look around for publicity. They just let publicity come to them. So that's completely understandable. That's a lot of people. They don't usually hunt for publicity. They usually wait around for somebody to give them opportunity, or they, you know, collaborate through friends and, you know, such like that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I just always figured as long as I stayed working when I was ready to get my
definitely,
shot.
Definitely, and I feel like this was your time to, you know, to do this. And this came at a very perfect time because you had your music reviewed, you're releasing music yourself, so I feel like that it was, you know, a great time to actually start, you know, putting yourself more out there. And I'm really happy that you made that shift and that you feel more comfortable, kind of, and, you know, that you're actually, you know, putting yourself out there and doing this. So that's beyond amazing. I try.
You are too kind. Thank you.
I try. But yeah, seriously, it is an honor just to be speaking to you. Definitely, for sure. This is really fun. Like, I really wish I did all I could yesterday to do it, but I was so busy. I mean, there's nothing you can do about it. Which I thought I would ask about too, because I almost forgot. So, y'all, yesterday, we were supposed to do it yesterday, but I was busy and so was he. He actually has a little project that, if you feel comfortable talking about, he had, you know, a whole project yesterday. To give you guys a little synopsis, he was dealing with a kit, actually, of someone shot, and he was going through the sectors of the drummer, and dealing with BPM and loops, and he had a lot of stuff going on, so, I'll let you talk your part about that, you know, if you're comfortable with it.
Yeah, absolutely. I was a big metalhead in high school, and I've always had roots in metal. There was an EP I worked on years and years ago. It was called the Soulless Skin EP, with two other local metal artists. They've gone their separate ways, but I've kept in contact with both of them. One of them starting a new project called Submerged in Acid, and they've asked me to come on and record the project for them. So I put together a recording schedule of what we're looking to do and when we're looking to have it finished. And the first step of that was getting drums in. So what we did was we mic'd up the kit. I've only got four mics right now, so I couldn't do the whole kit. I've just got one on the kick, the snare, and two overheads. And then I had the drummer play different techniques across the drum. But the thing you have to do there is each one's a one shot. So like if I haven't played the kick drum, I need them to stop it and then pause, let it ring out and finish. Because what I will do in post is I will cut that and then process it and make it a single clip. Now I've got a kick like from a drum kit or a sample. And I did that across the whole kit. I've got 10 kicks, 10 snares, 10 crashes, 10 bells, 10 closed hat, 10 open hats. And what that serves for is a construction kit. If there's anything I need to build so our drummer can hear it, or if he wants to see it laid out on a grid in that fashion before he plays it, we've got building tools to do that. The other thing we did was because we're just drafting material, we want to see what we can build or what we can write. We started at 150 BPM. We took about 10 minutes of recording of just different grooves to the click, and then we moved up in increments of 10 BPM up to 210. And so I'll cut those into loops, and we'll use that, and we'll start arranging our songs. And that will give the guitarist something to play over. It works really well through Notion as well, because if they don't have time for jam sessions, I can update those notes, and they've always got their kits, their guitars, whatever they're working on with me available and accessed there, like in their own time.
Mm. Wow. Oh, and
I can elaborate on any of that.
No,
sorry, I feel
okay,
like that was
okay.
A complicated answer.
Again, I wanted you to just answer how you wanted to answer, because to be honest with you, I could just read off what you texted me yesterday when we were talking about your project. I mean, I could have done that, but I wanted to, you know, have you have the floor and talk about your project.
Oh, I get you. Sometimes I feel like I ramble. That's why I said if I was unclear on anything, feel free to ask for
clarity. Let me clarify on the definition of podcast. The podcast is supposed to be called rambling. They should make that a synonym. A podcast means rambling. Just that's why I let people overshare. That's why I don't comment as much, because I want you to say as much as possible. Like, you know, the world today, they cut you off on a lot of things and they don't let you say your full opinion on anything, and it's unfair. That's why I want you guys to say as much as possible. So I don't care how long it is. Just say it all. Just say everything. Like, that's why I'm here. That's why I get these musicians, because y'all don't get this in real life. So, I want to give an olive branch. Get it? Olive branch. Sorry, that's olive another fun branch. Thing about me. I love.
Ah, yes.
But anyway, to answer your question, ramble on,
me
friend.
Too. Yeah, like I said, that was about it. We did one take where he gave me one shot. He just hit the drum quickly and then let it die out. And then we did BPMs. And I'll cut those into kits so that we can write each piece. And that'll be that.
Oh, cool. Well, thanks for talking a little bit about the project. I am very, very excited for it. I mean, y'all, I know I said I wouldn't, but I wouldn't believe it. He literally said he had an hour and a half ranging 150 BPMs and increments. And I was like, whoa, this guy's really done his homework. And then, like, what really got me is that he processed the kicks and hats and snares to make a shot for a virtual kit. I mean, it's crazy how much work gets into working with a drummer and, you know, having to deal with loops and having to correct and fill it, you know, to get to a recording session. I mean, even which, I know that you, I think it was you that mentioned that you were working with another band. I think it was you that said that. I hope I'm right.
Yeah, no, that was me. To jump into the nitty gritty, when I went into Ableton, I made 4 tracks just for each mic. And then when we recorded, I just adjusted the BPM and then hit save live set is new and renamed it the name of the tempo. So like each tempo is its own project in Ableton. I can jump in there. I didn't have to automate the BPM or anything like that. It just gave me different flavors or grooves to work with. I would say I credit Andrew Huang to that style of thinking. He's on YouTube. He's another Ableton user, and for a good portion he did like everything he wrote just from found sounds or like recorded from scratch, and watching him taught me a lot of how to do that and how to make that process as efficient as possible.
That makes a lot of sense, actually. I've heard him on and off between conversations, so that makes a lot of sense where you get the inspiration from. That is.
Yes, I would say that YouTube taught me most of what
everyone,
I know.
To be honest, that's everybody that's over 20. YouTube has been the ultimate teacher.
Yes, well, and
no,
it's
it
a good
is.
Community
I
to be in
YouTube
as well.
Every day, I literally thank God that we have YouTube. Like, YouTube literally saved all our lives. Like, I don't know what I would do without it. Like, let's be honest. Like, I wouldn't die, but I would freak out. I would freak out if YouTube did this. It has saved my life in so many ways. Like, everyone's life, so. It's such impactful, you know, societal piece of history. Like, it's crazy how much impact it really has. It's insane. So,
I think anytime you create something for the community where it is user-driven and free to the community, it will create a positive 100%. Change.
100%. That hit me hard, to be honest. That truth hit me hard.
Well, because that's mostly what YouTube is. It's just an open source for people to put up videos. They don't have to pay to do it. They're the host. You can put up anything as long as it's not intentionally or horribly offensive. There's guidelines. It's just
definitely,
there. It's a user
definitely.
Base.
Definitely. Very, very true indeed. But yeah, thank God for YouTube. And Gal, I'm not kidding. I thank God for YouTube every day of my life. And I'll still do it. Just like I thank God for my family and friends. I thank God for YouTube. And I thank God for this, because if I didn't have this to do, I would be binge-watching Netflix right now. So, thanks to Stripes, I don't have to be staring at my TV screen. but seriously, God, I lost my train of thought. But yeah, very, very valid points about that, for sure. And, oh well. I have to ask this too. Who made the art on your Instagram for Tiger Blood Studios? Because I see that's also another art piece. Who made that? That's actually really cool. I love the scars, the scars that's behind Tiger Blood, that's behind the lettering and the font.
Let me look at that one real quick. Hold on. It's been a while since I've looked, and I've had a couple logos. I believe that was Ashley Tegeson, one of our local artists. Yes. Oh, no. The one on my Instagram was my little brother, Felix. You can find them on Instagram at decayed_corpse.
Wow. Look at that. Your whole family is very talented. Is that true? I don't want to make any claims that's wrong.
I would say that they're all very talented, yes. I'm spatially challenged. I often joke that Felix took all of my spatial visual learning and just absorbed it. And I'm good with audio, though.
Nice. That's really cool. And your parents, does the music side of you and, the creativity of your brother come from your parents, or, has it came from something else?
I would say I pull inspiration probably most from my daily life, and then I use music as a coping mechanism to dig into past trauma. My parents always had music on in the house, and it was always accessible to us, all the time. And I feel like even when I was upset, I could listen to music and kind of balance myself out. So I always knew it was something I wanted to be involved in, but inspiration drained depending on the track. It could come from anywhere. It could just be a conversation to a prank, to an engineering idea. Music is just a form of self-expression. It's whatever you choose to grab and present to the world. But it's all pieces of you. You've got to pull from yourself.
Definitely, definitely. And it's actually really mature, actually, and it's beyond, it's beyond commenting about that you pulled from outside life to really, contribute to, what you're doing now. It's absolutely insane. I probably won't get over that for a long time. It's absolutely crazy. So that hit me hard. That hit me hard. And now it's an expression. I'm sorry.
No, I got you. I was like, I didn't think that was that impactful. I was just stating my.
Well,
my
yeah. Whenever somebody
there.
Shares something personal, it always hits me because it's not normally people don't do it. Whenever you do something you wouldn't normally do, it hits with me. And that's always been, with people, whenever they do stuff out of the ordinary, that it's how it flows. But yeah, that's a good point, though. I might have reacted. But regardless though, I do want to thank you, though. And I'm trying not to, like, overly, but I do want to thank you, though. Obviously, thanks, Shroom T, for even connecting me to you, but for you being here, for providing so much advice and, you know, so much connections. I am really happy that we clicked on, that we finally did this. So, major thank you, for taking the time out to do this. You know, thank God you're busy and you're free.
Yes, well, you gotta make pockets of freedom within your busyness. It's all a balancing act.
Definitely, 100%. I couldn't say it better myself. But I really do hope that you did enjoy this as much as I did. This is your first time doing this, so I hope that it was a good first time.
Yes, I really appreciated it. You've been a fabulous and very kind host. I'm glad that I was here, and I'm glad that we connected.
But yeah, I'm really, really glad that you clicked on. To the audience watching, who's really watching, did you have anything lastly that you wanted to tell them?
I would say that the best thing you can do for yourself is make sure you're getting enough rest and make sure you're giving yourself time for self-expression, be it visual art, audio art, dance, whatever it is. Make sure you're giving yourself time to express.
It's 100%. Important. He hit the mark. Yes. Well, thank you all so much for watching. And this is another bonus for you. Strikes was kind enough to send over two songs, Ambition, which we did have a conversation about, and a song called Professional Mumble Rappers featuring All That Smoke, which you guys will also get a chance to listen to. So, woohoo! Thank you so much for sending those. I can't wait for them to listen to it. I enjoy it. Y'all's fucking vibe. So, I hope you all enjoy those tracks. Yes. But anyway, thank you guys so much for watching. You can find Stripes everywhere. I recommend Instagram because Instagram's really awesome. You can find him on Stripes in the Studio, his official, and you can find him on his studio Instagram, Tiger Blood Studios, and all producers. Heed me. Did I say heed? Oh my god, I cannot believe I've never said that word in my whole life, so that was new for me. But what I was saying was y'all should check out the studio and book an appointment on there. If y'all open, it's tigerbloodstudio.com, and it's a really awesome website. I would definitely check it out, and y'all should connect like I did. Anyway, I will catch you all on the next interview I do, and a lot coming up, so beware for that. And I had a really wonderful time talking, and I hope we get to do this again soon. And thank you guys so much for watching, and I'll catch you guys next time. Thank you guys so much. Bye. Hello, everybody. Thank you guys so much for joining us tonight as we dove into a wonderful podcast episode. Now, in this following segment, you will get a chance to hear this artist's showcase, because every artist that comes on the show requires to do a showcase. So buckle up, get some popcorn, and enjoy the showcase. I hope you guys love it, and
check out the artist when you get a chance too. Hope you guys love it. Enjoy.
I just wanna see the world report, so I hit the booth and hit record.